you're on Hey Vav Amar Aleph towards the top. If someone sells a document which is usable to pay off a loan, and then he said,
to
I mean,
collect the loan.
to collect the loan, and then he said, actually, I don't want to collect it anymore. But this other guy who bought the contract knows that it's worth money, that contract. Even not just the person that originally gave the loan can forgive the loan, but even an inheritor can, because really this middle guy has nothing to do with it. This guy that bought this note has nothing to do with the actual loan. Says Amar Rav Huna, Rej Rav Yoshua, Vivikechu, and if this guy that bought this contract is a smart guy, so then he should, if he really wants to have that value, if he wants to have that contract, so then basically he should jiggle or make noise with coins, and therefore sort of give over the message to the guy, to the creditor, saying, look, I've got money too, and I could pay off the loan myself, something like that. Amar Meir Mad Dain Dida Garbe. Amemar said, anyone who's does the case of Dina Digarmi, meaning someone who I don't know, literally it translates to someone who causes damage to somebody.
Liable for indirect damages.
Right, okay. So then, magbi beidme shtar v'alya. So that is a good shtar, and you collect good money from a good shtar. Man's lo da'in d'zigarmi magabi beidame nayar v'alma. Person who is not doing a damage case is only, the shtar, the contract, is only worth the paper that it's on. Meaning the selling of that contract. What does it mean?
The authority who does not maintain that a person is liable for indirect damage would only make the creditor pay him for the value of the paper on which the promissory note was written.
Meaning once he's given the financial responsibility, then the only value left is the paper.
Which actually, those days, today, that's
right.
Not worth the paper it's written on.
Right, now it actually was.
It's expensive.
So, apparently, Dina Digarmi worked differently. Let's just read the notes here in the Steinbelt. I have my Gemara with me today. So I'm going to say that this means he has to reimburse the purchaser only for the amount he paid for the document. However, if high goal and grain are not maintained, he must pay the entire sum stipulated in the promise right now. Others say that he's not the full obligation, but part of it, whatever could be collected with that paper. Okay. For some reason, Dina Digarmi circumvents the issue. I'm not sure why. There was once a story like this with Rav Ashi, and Rav Raphram, I assume Raphram Bar Papa, but I don't know. So the Rav Ashi could collect just like a case of Shuras Lasami, which is a beam that was used for a sculptor. Meaning he could get the whole thing. He doesn't have to only get the paper it's worth on. Amar Meir Mishved Rav Chama, Haiman Ti'ika Alek Suvas Isha Bal Chov. When it comes to a person who has an obligation of a ksuba or some kind of loan, so then the Isle Ara, and then he has a piece of land, the Isle Susan has some, I guess, movable money, liquid assets, Lavalko Misal Kinan Le Bezuze, to the debtor, so then you give him some, the movable money. Leisha Misakin La Ba'ara. For the woman, you pay her off of the land. To Haiki Dine, the Haiki Dine. Each one in accordance to their law. Oh, in accordance to what they gave him, I guess. Meaning the creditor gave him money, so then he should give him back money. And the woman didn't give him anything, but did have a lien on his land. So this is why he gives the land. And if he only has one piece of land, and therefore he can't. The first case, he had multiple pieces of land. I don't know. He only has land, and that land is only good enough to pay off one of them. So in the Baal Kol Yavin Ali, then you give the land to the creditor. Lo Yavin Ali, you don't give the land to the woman. My time. More than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married, to be married. Therefore, what? Women do not get married because they wish to receive their marriage contract. Oh, okay. They get married just because they want to be married, and therefore the land is somewhat ancillary to their real benefit.
I guess they were afraid, though, if we paid off the woman and didn't pay off the Baal Chov, then people wouldn't be willing to lend money.
Yeah.
They were less worried that if women knew that there was a chance they wouldn't get their
position. Right. Women would say,
the exact opposite. Women wouldn't quit getting married because...
Well, no, I think there was a concern that women weren't getting married, but I think there's more of a concern that people won't lend money.
Right, here's the lesser of two evils. So in the case of the creditor, right, the woman, okay, I didn't get in there, but alas, I got 5 good years of marriage. We had good times together. The creditor, what did he get? He got nothing.
Well, plus, the woman, when she gets married, knows she may never get her kesubah, because if she dies first...
Right, there's always that possibility that
whereas
she knows
that. Whereas the Baal Chov assumes that she's going to get paid back.
Right, whatever the case is, he's always going to get his money. Or he assumes he would. So Amar Rav Papa Rav Chama. Vaday Tamris Mishmei Derava. Oh, his name was Vaday?
No, he's asking a question.
Vaday... Surely it was said from Rava?
Yeah.
Oh, is it correct?
Yeah.
Vada is an interesting word. But Haiman Damaski Bezuze Vise Ara Vasubachova Katavim Mine Vamar Le Zilshko Kimeshko Meara Amrina Le Zilzabin At the Ice You Have Lay. If a person, a creditor, comes and asks for the money and he has land, he says, go take the amount that you want from the land. So then, do we really say to him, go and sell the land yourself and give him money? Meaning, don't make your creditor go get the land. You give him the money and you take care of the land. Do we say that to him? Do we say that you're not allowed to pay off a loan with land if you have money? So I'm really low.
Or who's responsible? If the creditor wants cash.
Right. Who has to give it?
Who's responsible for selling the land in order to raise the cash?
Right.
Do we say, okay, you can have that piece of land, and if the creditor wants cash, he has to sell
it? Right, deal with it yourself.
Or do we say that, since the Baal Chov owes money, it's the Baal Chov's problem to sell
here,
it and
turn
over cash.
So here, Rav Papa's asking Rav Chama, is it true that you said we forced the one who took the loan to sell the land himself? So I said, no, it's not true. I didn't say that. Emily Gufa de Uvda Hechava. So what was the situation that happened then? So Amalei Tola Ma'osla V'Goyhava. The money was somehow tied up with a non-Jew. I don't know what that means. He had some other person who was holding his money. So then who asa Shlo Kohogin Fikir Asa Bo Shlo Kohogin? Ah, this man, because he lent his money to a Jew, or he claims the non-Jew had his money. I don't know exactly what this case is, but because that was not appropriate to do, now we're not going to give him any pity.
He claimed it wasn't real. The money in his possession wasn't really his, but belonged to the non-Jew.
Oh, meaning the person who's paying off the debt said, this money's not mine, it's really the non-Jew's money. So in that case, we would say, okay, fine, you deal with the land. You get money for yourself and then pay him back, as opposed to a case where we have regular money, not by a non-Jew. So then, yeah, he could say to him, you go sell that piece of land and get your own money. But because here he had given his money to a non-Jew, is that what it's saying? That therefore we're going to sort of punish him. But the debtor specifically stated that the money is in his possession, belongs to a Gentile, therefore offered to give the land instead. According to Haigon, the man said that this property belongs to a Gentile, now that Gentile has claim to it. Uh-huh. So for them, the problem is that we don't want to obligate the creditor to have to go deal with a non-Jew. Not that the money belongs to a non-Jew. All right, so that there at least the claim and the conclusion are connected to each other. It's not just a random punishment, but it's the fact that the land belongs to a non-Jew means we're not going to make the creditor have to deal with a non-Jew. Okay, it's going to refine them. So I'm there with kind of like Papa. If you ask to Amar, Priyas Baal Kov Mitzvah Amar, Lo Nichali to Avi Mitzvah Mai. So Rabbanan says, Rav Papa, to you who says that the paying off of a loan is itself the fulfillment of a mitzvah.
It says, Lo Berashem, Lo Yishalim, and Tehillim.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, always unclear how to codify those psukim, but yeah.
It's not in the Torah.
No, that's not. What I'm saying is that in the Shulchan Aruch, is that like a real mitzvah, or is that just like, yeah, that's a good thing to do?
Bad thing
to do, right. Maybe it's a good thing to pay off your debts. So, l'didavta amar priyas b'achol mitzvah, to pay off your debts is itself a mitzvah. So then amar, lo nichali da'avid mitzvah, if a person says, I don't want to do a mitzvah, so then my.
So he says, Rav Papa holds that under biblical law, a debtor's properties are not automatically mortgaged to his creditor. Rather, the only reason the debtor is bound to repay his creditor is because the Torah obligates him to keep his word.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not going to do the mitzvah.
Uh-huh. I feel like there's like a backstory that we should have seen here, an establishment of those opinions. I would have liked to see where they get that from.
There's a long,
different drushes.
There's a long discourse, though.
Yeah.
There's a long discourse.
There's apparently a machlokas whether or not paying off a loan is midaraisa, an iser midaraisa, or a mitzvah. So now he's saying, well, what if he doesn't want to do a mitzvah? What if he's not threatened by any iser? So I'm related to Hanina, but maybe we're blooming mitzvah slota. That's only when it comes to a mitzvah slota, I say. Then what? About mitzvah, I say, can show me what I say, sukkah venos, a little venos, but if he just doesn't do a mitzvah like sukkah or lulo, so then makna so asha day, so now show. We kill him till he dies.
We'll give him makas.
Yeah. That's kind of a... Right, we do force him to do a mitzvah, so that's, you know... You ask what you do in that case? Yeah, we as my high school Rebbe would always say, I think it's based on Gemara and one of the Babas, we break his kneecaps. Just because it's only a mitzvah nasi doesn't mean that we have no recourse of forcing him to do it. All right. Rami Bar Chama Mirachista. He says, here's your divorce contract. And you're not going to be divorced until after 30 days. And then she puts this contract in a public domain where, or at least sort of the side of the public domain. And she didn't have it. Basically, she doesn't have it in her hand. After 30 days, does it still affect the divorce? So Amarle, in a migration, me deravu shmuel. So Rav Chista said back, no, she's not divorced. Based on Rav and Shmuel, the Rav and Shmuel Damer Kavaya Vehushet Tzivur and Munach Meshes the Ravim, Vizir Shes the Ravim Kshes the Ravim Damer. We saw this a few days ago that the only time that this is a different case, a deceased creditor, sorry, a deceased borrower is believed to have paid back the creditor once he had died, is if the money or the property was sort of stored up in the public domain, so that means it's accessible, but also put to the side. That's the only time Rambam and Shmuel agree that the money or the possessions would go to the creditor. However, this is just Rambam and Shmuel. And by the way, the sides of the public domain are like the public domain. That's why he has access to them. Similarly, when the woman has not acquired the get after 30 days, if it's in that location, why not? What's the parallel here? I guess what it means is that they only get it if they go pick it up.
Right.
Okay, it doesn't say that in the words, but it sounded almost as if they quoted this just with the words that they were there to say that as long as it's piled up in a specific place, so then it's collected regardless of what they do. That's not what it means. I don't think that's what it means. She literally has to have it in hand. Says Gemara, Adar Abba, Megureshes means Rav Nachman, Dam Rav Nachman, Rav Abba, Rav Waham, Mokhav, Rav Mishav, Parav, Zu, Vilas, Yeh, Kinu, Yelah, Chaz, Asfilosh, and Vilam, Karnav, Afilam, Eres, Agam. Even if it's standing in the swamp and you're not actually holding it, so then you still collect it after 30 days. So my love, Hainu, Agam, Hainu, Tidur, Shizam, Zem, 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 Zem,
Zem, it's kind of old that the Agam is sort of ownerless, like the side of...
Right. Similar, like no one has claim to that place, and therefore no one has acquired that cow, and nonetheless, it's considered acquired. So it says in law, Agam Lachad, Tidur, Shizam, Zem, they're really two separate cases. Apparently the agam is more private and therefore is not considered public.
But it's in ancient Hebrew, agam really meant more like a meadow than a lake, like
swamp.
Lake in modern Hebrew. And so that is a place where cattle customarily go, and you couldn't acquire cattle.
Right, you couldn't just go there and claim something.
It's not ordinary, even though it's sort of ownerless. It's not a real reshut harabim.
Okay. And therefore, it's not a place where a person could just claim ownership of a thing, like you could in Rishis Rabban. Okay. Iga de Amri, Amrale Migureshis, Midr of Nachas, Rishis Rabban, Kahakam Damin. They first, this is how the other alternative text goes, that really, Rav Chista said, yes, they are divorced, like the case of the Agam. The Rishis Rabban is like the Agam case. So Gemara says, "Adar Abba, any regression to Rav Shmuel, my love, Hanu Shis Rav, Hanu Tidur Shis Ravim, Lo Shis Rav Luchod, Tidur Shis Rav Luchod." Okay, different angle from the same type of thing. That Tidur Shis Ravim is not like Tidur Shis Ravim, and you can't necessarily extrapolate one to the other. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamoshiv es ishto chenvenes. Right, if somebody establishes his wife as the store owner, or he made her responsible for the property,
he can make her swear whatever he wants to.
About what? That she took care of everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds a little strange, but... Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afil al Pilkav Yasi Sasa. He can make her swear, even for the spindle and the dough, which are more mundane household tasks, and not just some kind of job that he gave her. Okay? I don't really know what the logic is here.
So he says, the line is going to explain.
What the logic is? Okay. Ibai Elihu. Not a lot of Gemara here. Rabbi Eliezer, Ali de Gilgul Kamar or Lechasila Kamar? Did Rabbi Eliezer say this because there's some kind of loan that's already outstanding, some kind of oath that's already outstanding?
I think the question is, you know, is this saying that if he sets up his wife as the storekeeper, and so now, or makes her the apotropos, and so then he can make her swear on whatever he wants.
Rabbi Eliezer comes along to even mundane things.
Those things along with that. Oh.
Right. Once he establishes.
As opposed to making her just independently swear only about the spindle and the dough.
Right.
Right. Even if she's not the store owner or not, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Tashema Amr Lo Rabbi Eliezer. Ein Adam Dar Im Nachash Bekfifa. We've seen this before. That a person does not live with a snake in their home or whatever, or in a basket. Meaning they're not just going to live around some dangerous issue. If you're saying that he set out to make her swear all the time, no matter what, independent of her being stoned, so that makes sense to say that he does not have to live with a snake all the time.
She doesn't have to live with the snake.
She doesn't have to live.
She's the snake. Who wants to live with a guy who every day says, I want you to swear to him?
Right, and therefore, when Rabbi Eliezer says he's allowed to make her swear, it makes a lot of sense that she'd be like, I don't want to live like this. You make me swear all the time. That makes sense. Those two things line up well.
That makes sense that these chachamim who said to Rabbi Eliezer would say,
right,
you know, that that's the case.
You shouldn't do that. Right, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't allow that. El Yamar Ali de Gilgul, so Menach Lamina, if the only situation is when she's our storekeeper, so then, and the only thing she has to swear about is the store, so there's no really great issue there.
And he's also making her swear about those other things. It's not as big a deal.
Uh-huh, okay.
If he can only impose this meaning, way regarding the household amounts by means of Gilgul Shavua, what difference does it make? She has to take a note about her husband's business. Why should she care if she has to include
others? Also the household stuff, yeah. She's already on hook to make oaths, basically. So why not just do the household stuff too? So Amrale, now came into Kadaikat, Basrai Kulehai, Lomazina Dador Bahadach. Because you're being so scrupulous with me, I don't want to live with you. Even if there's no
store, even if there's, I don't want to do this at all, even if I'm not a storekeeper, the administrator.
No, even if I am
I think it is. It's saying.
Even if I am a storekeeper.
Meaning, just because I'm a storekeeper shouldn't mean that you can make me swear all the time.
Right.
For other things. Okay. So Tashma Harish Lapatra Sishto Minha Nedra Minashva. So we don't know necessarily. Harish Lapatra Sishto Minha Nedra Minashva. Someone who did not exempt his wife from some kind of oath. V'hoshiva chen v'nes o shemina apotropia. Okay, that sounds like the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah. As long as she's a store owner, you're allowed to make her swear. If she's not a store owner, so then you're not allowed to make her swear. I don't know what the part of for the first part is. Lo patur es ishto min hanedra min hashvua. I mean, he didn't say you don't have to deal with any oath that I make you make. I don't know why that would be in there, but okay. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Alpha Pishaloi Shivachan is woman of Trabia, Harez and Meshbek of Mashi Yurta, Shemachish Shalas, the Betravisha, Achas, Pai Bala, Al Pilchov Yaki Sasa. So basically, Rabbi Eliezer has a similar sentiment, even if she's not a store owner, and even if she's not in charge of all the possessions, so then he's still allowed to make her swear all the time. Because there's no such woman who's not willing to become, who does not become an apotropos, even for one moment in her husband's lifetime, by taking care of the spindle and the dough. I mean, she's already an apotropos naturally. So Armelo ein adam dar im nachash bekfifa. So the rabbis say, wait a second, she wouldn't want to live like that, being constantly asked to swear. Meaning that Bryce says explicitly, Rabbi Eliezer's shita is even in a case where she's not the store owner. All right, just basically a proof that answered the question, but don't worry, it's not really any implication or anything. No, we didn't start with that. Okay, the Mishnah says, Kasav la neder shva in li alayach. If a person says, I do not have any, I guess this is the ksuba case that we were just talking about. If a person says, in the actual tshuva, I don't have any shvua on you, meaning I'm not going to make you, take an oath at all. Ein yachol lashbia. So then he's not allowed to make her swear. It really works. Ava mashbia who has your sheha v'atzabam b'shisa. However, he's allowed to make other people that are in her orbit or under her, you know, jurisdiction, allowed to make them swear, meaning like her inheritors or some other representative. Even someone who bought this contract, and that's the whole bite. I don't know how that happens, but okay. Nezer Shvua, any other?
Because she's allowed to sell her ksuba, and then the people who buy it are buying it.
That's to keep the conditions of the ksuba?
Correct.
Really?
Yeah. Her ksuba is worth 200 zuz.
But only if they keep the conditions of the ksuba.
But her ksuba is worth 200 zuz, but only in the case where he divorces her or he dies first. She's allowed to sell that. She won't get 200 zuz for it because the...
Not hers.
Huh?
Because it's not hers.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe she'll get 100 zuz. Somebody's willing to speculate that I'm going to collect 200.
Right, right. Yeah, the Gemara talks about that.
Right. So you're saying that in which case it wouldn't be her heirs, but it would be the people now who, if she dies...
Heirs?
Huh?
The heirs I get.
Well, it's the same thing. Now she sold this ksuba to some third party, and now she gets divorced. So she's entitled. So that third party is entitled to the ksuba.
Right.
So we're saying the husband can make that third party or the heirs in the case that the husband dies first, and she's entitled to her ksuba, but she hasn't collected, and now she dies.
Yeah.
Husband's allowed to make them swear, even though the husband's not allowed to make the wife swear because he promised he wasn't
going to
make her swear.
All right. So neder shvua en li alach la to keep that word. Aval yorshav mashpia noso v'yes yorshav yes habayim b'shusa. But the inheritors of this man who never said such a statement, they are allowed to make the others swear. They inherit the ksuva or the responsibility of the ksuva, and therefore the conditions they put on the ksuva. If you covered all your bases, so then no one gets to make anyone else.
I don't understand that one. How can he say, I can understand how he can say, I'm not going to ever make you swear. I'm not going to ever make your... Yarshim swear. But how can he impose a condition on his heirs?
I don't know why not.
Huh?
Why not? If they want to collect...
Am I allowed to swear? Am I allowed to impose an oath on you that you're not going to do something?
If you inherit... If I would inherit you, yeah.
Only regarding what they inherit from him.
Okay. I suppose.
If I don't want to play by the rules, then I don't have to follow that. But then I don't get the benefits either.
Okay, yeah, I see. It's not that I'm saying that they can never make him swear. It's not that the man is saying.
Yeah, no, he's not offering them from doing
anything.
It's just for the sake of the ksuba thing.
Okay,
I think so. If the woman who doesn't have to make an oath goes back to her husband's. To her own house, to her father's house, or if she goes back to the father-in-law's house, but is not betrothed for the husband's estate, so then ein hayarshin mashbien osa, so then the inheritors do not have the right to make her swear about anything. V'im nasa zabetrap yahayarshin mashbien osa al asblava, but if she's still considered an apotropos over the property, so then the inheritors of that property are able to make her swear, al ha'asid lavo, for the sake of the future.
But not for the period up to the time of her husband's death, only for the time after her husband's
death. That makes sense. I mean, she's not under their jurisdiction until the husband dies.
From the outset, has been extended to her by her husband, is no longer valid when he dies. So if she has nothing to swear about after he dies, then there's nothing to swear about.
Right. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, Shvua Mayavidita. Why are we talking about Shvua? What Shvua are we talking about in the Ksuba? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Al Apotropia Shinasis Pachayabala, a woman who came in, became in charge of the husband's property while the husband was alive, because that was pretty common, I guess, to make sure that he was, that she could take care of his stuff, but at the same time say, I'm not going to make you swear about anything. So if Nachman Amarabu Ravu ala Pogemus Ksubasa, it's referring to a woman who claims that she received partial payments of her marriage contract, who must take an oath that she received no more than the amount she admits to. The mission is referring to a husband who exempted his wife from this oath, I guess, to take off the pressure and say, no, don't worry about it. You don't have to swear. We'll just believe you that you don't have to, that you don't have to pay any more than that. Or yet that I owe you this amount.
That, to me, is strange.
I was making note that she received no more than the amount she admits to. She has to swear that she really gets $100 more. And he said, no, you don't have to swear that.
An exemption is made from an oath, the intensive exemptor, even from an oath which can impose
a punishment. If she's got the Ksuba document, doesn't she have a good miku that she could say, look, I never received anything.
Right.
Now she admits I received half of it, and I'm only claiming half.
Mm-hmm.
She could have just said, I haven't received anything, I've got the document, pay up the whole thing. So why should she have to swear if she says, I received half?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's exempt from the oath which her husband can impose upon her if he administered her as he had pointed there.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, we'll pick up with this tomorrow.